Let's do that hockey.
Welcome to Dauber Prospect Report, a member of the Hockey Podcast Network. This is report number 61. I'm Victor Nuno, one of the co-hosts here, and with me is Peter Harling. How you doing, Pete?
Victor, I'm super excited. I'm really good. The draft combine is now in the rearview mirror, which means next stop, Vegas.
That's right. Vegas, baby. Can't wait. Yeah, I'm doing well, too. I was in Belgium last week, so I'm a bit still confused about where in the world I am, but I'm happy to be here. And I'm excited to hear about all things, you know, draft related. We got a really exciting guest, Russ Cohen, and
Who were you scouting in Belgium?
Oh, I can't tell you.
Secret insider stuff.
Secret Belgian prospect, considering I don't think they've ever had one in the NHL. So there you go.
We leave no stone unturned on this podcast.
Well, in today's report, we're going to talk about the draft combine, and luckily, our guest was there, and so we get some insights about... That seems like a really cool event, Pete. I don't know. You've never been, have you?
I've not, no. I mean, getting time off work for hockey events is a bit of a challenge, and the draft trumps the combine for sure, but I'd really like to check it out one year. And I see all the interview videos, and I'm like, I know everybody in that scrum, so it looks like a good time. And I think I'd have to hone up my interviewing skills in order to be particularly successful at it. And I'm not sure how much value the scouting combine offers from a fantasy perspective. I mean, I can definitely see the value in it for the NHL team, right? You get the off-ice testing, which is nice. But the interviews, I think, is really where it's at, right? That's the gravy at the combine for the NHL teams, is to get some intel on these players, either for players that they're interested in drafting, or even if they're players that are out of their range. Once they're drafted, they can't talk to them, right? They can't get to know them. They have to rely on secondhand information from other players that may have played with them in the past. So this is their opportunity to get some firsthand intel on these players. So yeah, maybe that's a topic we can ask Russ when he comes on, is what kind of fantasy takeaways can you take from the draft combine?
We need to find out. By the way, while you were talking, I looked up Belgian hockey players, and it turns out there is one. Sean Day is part Belgian. Did you know that?
I did not. Did not.
For those of you who didn't know, he was a very highly touted junior prospect, fell to the third round in 2016 by the Rangers, and kind of flamed out and never really made it. Played a lot of AHL games, but only two NHL games with Tampa.
Yeah, he had OHL exceptional status, too.
Right. Yeah, he was awesome in juniors, but it didn't quite work out.
He turned out to be the exception to the exceptional status.
Well, maybe that's the new Belgian I was scouting.
His brother.
All right. Well, this episode is brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Follow at HockeyPodNet for more great hockey podcasts. You can use the DraftKings promo code THPN for listening to the show. More on that in a bit. We are also proudly sponsored by Fantrax, the ultimate league manager for any dynasty sport you play. Completely customizable. However you want to set up your league, from scoring categories, an amazing draft room to host the show, draft pick trading, treasury option, and so much more. Use our promo code to sign up for a free league using the link fantrax.com/DPR show.
All right. So without further ado, let's bring on our guest for this episode. And that is none other than one of our reoccurring favorites, Russ Cohen from Sportsology. Russ, how are you today?
Good, Pete. How are you?
I am super. I was just telling Victor, with the combine in the rearview mirror, next stop Vegas at the Sphere, baby. I'm pretty excited about that. How about you?
Yeah, a couple weeks away. Yeah, very excited.
Yeah, everyone's finalizing the draft rankings, and I still need to put the finishing touches on mine for my fantasy drafts, but...
Yeah, mine will be up in a couple days.
Yeah. Well, who gets drafted by what team will put the finishing touches on it for me? I think that makes a difference. But before we get too far into that, let's backpedal a little bit. You just got back from the scouting combine in Buffalo. So let's talk a little bit about that. On the intro, I was having a brief chat with Victor about that. And I've never been. And you and I have talked about this a little bit in the past, but I think some of the listeners might be interested. I've never been for a couple of logistical reasons, but mainly because I'm not really sure what the takeaway would be, as I focus more on the fantasy hockey side of things, right? I can absolutely see the value in the scouting combine for NHL teams, as the off-ice testing is nice. I think it's important. Mm-hmm. But I think the real meat of the show for the NHL teams is the opportunity to meet and interview and really get to know the players and get some intel on them in order to solidify their ideas about who they want to select with their picks. But also, once the players are picked, like, they're kind of off limits to them, right? So this is their chance to just kind of play the field a little bit and get to know all the players. So the NHL value in the scouting combine is pretty transparent. Is there a slant that I'm maybe underestimating that might be relevant for people in fantasy hockey to kind of look for from information that's either published at the combine or for people like me who could get media access to attend this? What opportunities am I missing by not going?
Well, first thing is, teams talk to guys all throughout the year. This is just a chance for like their final interview, the longest one they're going to have. But they talk throughout the year, but they don't get that long with them. You know, it's after a game, it's before a game, it's that kind of stuff. So, but they do see them and meet with them. And then they have Zoom calls. Like over these past few weeks, they've all had some Zoom calls. And then they go there and this is like their final job interview, you know, and that's when more people in the room, questions get a little tougher. You start asking the psychological stuff. From a fantasy perspective, I think if you actually went and saw the players, it might help you complete the picture of what the player is, because you're going to see a player and you're just going to see a player and a number and a stat line. And by the time they get to this event, some of them have already gained 5 or 7 pounds muscle. Some of them have been working out for 4 months because their teams didn't make it to the playoffs. Some only worked out for a week because they played in the Memorial Cup. So they're already different players in a sense than what you knew during the season. And then by the time the draft rolls around, they've had even longer to work out and do things. And a lot of the college kids are already going back to college so they could start working out because there doesn't close. They could do it all year. Whereas it, like, you know, the NHL guys have to hire somebody for the summer. So it's different. So there's a lot of that going on. And I think seeing some of these guys, not necessarily, you don't have to watch them all performing their exercises, but talking to them about it and seeing what makes a player tick really does help me. And it does, I think it would help you too.
So the players do the team interviews, right? And yeah, you know, these guys are all saying they talk to anywhere from like 20 something to 30 teams. I don't think anyone's was a full 32 gauntlet. But the media aren't privy to those, right? Those are private conversations between
the player.
But the players are available for media scrums, not unlike what they are at the draft, right?
Well, they're different. I mean, these can be a little more revealing in the sense that it could tell you if they want to who they spoke to, what they talked about, and all those things. And, you know, so as an example, if people go to Sportsology, you'll see I spoke to a prospect that actually told me that there were two teams that made sure they saw him in Michigan and made sure they were back interviewing him there now and saying the same things and how interested they were. And a lot of times a player won't tell you that. Now, did he tell me that because he wasn't getting a lot of media attention? Maybe. And I gave it to him. And so, you know, I got the information and he's a good player. So, you know, you could get those things. Sometimes you have to do a little digging. And I think what's important from a fantasy perspective might be if you get a guy, and we'll just use, I don't know, John Mustard as an example, USHLer. He is a good player. He's going to need some good development. You know, you might say if he goes to Team A that's a good fit. If he goes to Team B, you might say, I don't know if his development's going to be as smooth as it could be with Team A. And that, to me, might affect, you know, his fantasy value, because that's a big part of the equation is where a player goes, where they go to college, where they play after the CHL, where if they're going to the AHL, whose organization that is, you know, all those things. Are they going back overseas? Those teams, because teams look at that. They want to know, because a lot of times it could really help a player develop. And sometimes a player who really needs the help goes to the wrong team and they kind of just, you know, sink.
Right. I mean, I've asked players at the draft and interviews what they think their timeline is to the NHL. Do you think that answer might change from the combine to the draft, depending on who drafts them?
Yeah, because I think that sometimes a player's going to be like, they're not going to tell you and I this, but hey, let's just say Anaheim drafts player, whoever could be back at Seneca. But, let's just pretend Seneca, let's just say it's Cole Hudson, right? Just because he's a college kid. So let's say it's the Anaheim Ducks, they do Cole Hudson. And Cole Hudson was thinking, maybe at the end of next year I'll come out. Now he's thinking, and they're not going to be good for 2 years. I might wait. I might wait him out a bit. And it might be better for me to play more college hockey where things are going to be really competitive and wait for things to kind of get in better, position over there. That could happen. That could happen. Some players don't get that luxury, but some do. And so, yeah, that can make a difference.
All right. Well, let's start talking about some specific players. Mm-hmm. And the one I want to lead off with is Kaden Lidstrom.
Mm-hmm.
He's a real interesting player. And I've seen him ranked as, in the top five pretty consistently in mm-hmm. two on some lists. So there's a lot to like about this, right? He's got a really big frame. He's a prolific offensive player at the WHL level. Some people are questionable about that translatability. But here's a guy who you've got that has size, skill, and snarl, and is the kind of player that teams dream about having down the middle, especially when it comes to playoff time. I think he's absolutely a top three at the lowest pick. The big concerns about him, though, are the injuries. He missed some time this year, and it's the back injury. I know. I don't know. You or people listening have had back injuries, but I've had one, and it comes and goes. But when it's around, there is no way I could conceive playing hockey at any level, especially the NHL.
Like, sure, but you're woefully out of shape compared to Kaden Lidstrom. You know what I mean?
And really old. But I was young once, so,
Sure, we all were.
I can kind of remember that.
Simmons is old!
I'll tell you what. Here's what I would tell you about that. I did watch him there. He did do some of the floor exercises. So the thing about Lidstrom is this. He looked good. He was honest about things. He said he feels really good now. He didn't hide from anything. So I didn't feel like there was anything being hidden here. I could tell you that when I was like 17 and I used to play a lot of sports, that I would get backaches and whatever. But I'd also be out on the basketball court for 4 or 5 hours a day, and you don't think about what that does to your body. Then I didn't have a back problem until I was like 30. You know what I mean? So it really just depends on who's watching over you and what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I'm not worried about that. As far as when you look at him, he's a physical specimen. I mean, more so than what you normally would see at an NHL draft at this point, even bigger than Quentin Byfield, as far as I think, like his shoulders and his arms. So then you look at him, what he can do on the ice, and he's a gifted passer. I think he's a great stick handler. And it's not like for a guy his size, he's just a great stick handler. I like the way his speed is good and his edge work's good. He can cut across the grain, find openings. A lot of times he seems to be a pass first guy, and we'll see if that changes. Maybe someone will get to him at some point and say, hey, you're going to have to crash the net more or do more that way. Good two way, obviously has that size already. Still think there's more ceiling, even though sometimes with a guy this size, you'd say, maybe it's just a little bit left. But no, I think there's a lot there. And honestly, if anybody put him below five, it's only because they're wondering about this back thing. And, my feeling was I didn't see enough to make me even give it a concern. It's going to always be there. But at this point, I got to just rate the guy for what he's done and what he, looks like in front of me. And that's one of the best players in this draft.
I think you and I, if I'm not mistaken, both have him third on our lists. And that's, as a writer, that's easy to do, put a guy at third. It's a little bit more difficult to actually pick him at third and invest that kind of draft capital and probably put your job on the line on that pick with the back injury concerns. Would you still feel confident? Yeah, you'd still pick him at three.
I'd still do it because it's still a chance at a first line center. How many are there?
Right. Yeah,
Very few and far between. The upside's there.
The upside on that swing is out of the park.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I have to go for it because I'm only looking at maybe two guys in this whole draft that could be first line centers. And I got to get one of them. Like if I'm drafting there, I got to get one because then that saves me, you know, about $10 million off the cap for the next 4 years until I actually have to really pay them, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big thing that you have to look at.
See, I got the third overall pick in my dynasty league, and I'm taking Demidov. But if I don't pick Demidov, then it's Lidstrom.
Right. Yeah. Demidov. Listen, he's a terrific pick. I mean, I like his motor. I like the way that he keeps looking for offensive openings. He's always kind of like moving and has a great shot. Can score. He if I remember correctly, when I was doing like some chart work with him, he did score closer than I thought he would. But again, he's one of those guys that you just lose him. You lose him out on the ice because he's so good. So I would have a hard time, but those would be the two guys that I would definitely look at.
All right. Well, Victor's the doctor on the show. Victor, do you have anything?
Is he real doctor? What kind of doctor is he?
I am a real doctor. That's what the medical board says anyway. So, yes.
What kind of doctor are you?
A neuromusculoskeletal specialist.
Wow. Okay. All right. Impressive.
So the reality is that none of us can know unless we see those reports. And
correct.
I'm sure the teams now know whatever they know, whatever they were satisfied. I think part of the issue here is that there are certainly some things that you could confidently say, this probably won't happen again, because I'm sure that's what they're wondering. But there's also some things that you don't really know. This might not happen again, or it could. And so that's what I'd be wondering. Like, is this something that was a happenstance? It was correctable and it probably won't happen again? Or is this something that could develop into a chronic nagging issue? And that's what I would be concerned about. And some of these things, honestly, I don't think you can really know.
Yeah, I agree. I was looking over the combine results. He just did like hand grips and stuff. He didn't do anything because he was still coming off of, you know, the injury. So he didn't do anything where he could possibly hurt himself. And I get it. Yeah, I would say, do the teams get amazing medicals for these guys? I don't think so. I think that's why we see sometimes things happen the way they happen. I mean, they don't have to just fork over everything. It's up to the player if they want to give that out. Not like we've already all been through. We're surprised every team doesn't give everybody like a full body scan and use all that info. It's expensive, and a lot of teams don't do it. Certainly junior teams don't do it. So it's really up to the player whether they want to release that or not.
Yeah, and it kind of reminds me like last year how Lane Hudson went out of his way to provide the bone information, the bone, I forget what they called it, but the aging. And that sort of helped his case for the people to know. But he went out of his way to get that and provide that on his own.
Right, because it's up to him. Yeah.
And I think that Lindstrom, you know, if he really wanted to allay the fears, he probably would have done whatever was necessary to put that in the report. Because if he didn't, then I think some teams would be dissatisfied and he might slide a little bit. So it's up, you know, it behooves him really to disclose as much as he can have access to and get as much information as he can, which I imagine that's what he did.
Yeah, I just don't know. He didn't talk about it, so I'm not going to speculate.
My first guy that I want to ask you about is EJ Emery. And he was, he's consolidated number 36, 6'3", 190-pound right-handed D. And he played for the USNTDP this season. The 16 points in 61 games certainly do not jump off the page. But you know what does is the fact that he nailed just about every one of these tests that they did. I mean, I was looking at Scott Wheeler's tweet. That's a great thread if you didn't see it. And a bunch of the things like body fat index, vertical jump, horizontal jump, he was first. And a lot of them, he was top five or certainly top 10. He just looks like an absolute beast, this guy. And, you know, I think some more things to mention. He actually averaged a hit, block, and shot per game. So even if the points aren't there, the peripheral floor is. And he sounds like such an amazing athlete that's going to go far, you know. So I'm wondering, what did you learn about EJ Emery? And, you know, what do you kind of think in terms of his projection? Because he sounds like he might not be, you know, a points guy in fantasy, but he sounds like a guy who could be, you know, a future top four, you know, shutdown D who plays a lot of minutes, which could be very valuable.
Yeah, I think that's what he is going to be. Is that what you just said? Yeah, they have to now change the long jump or whatever. I forget what they call it, because he, you know, he exceeded it to the point where he almost jumped out of the area. So I wish I had that on video. I had some other guys, you know, on video, but everybody should check out the Stian Solberg video with his origin story on my Instagram at Sportsology. It's unbelievable. It'll be an eye opener. But anyhow, getting back to Emery, tremendous athlete. I mean, his dad was a football player, so was he. So yeah, you could just see he looks even bigger than when I'd seen him before. I used to say, wow, look at Keandre Miller, how he's sort of put together. And now I've seen EJ Emery and don't even think about Keandre Miller. But Miller does still have more offense in his game than Emery. But Emery really does do some things. He makes some really good first passes. He's smart. He will hit. He really knows how to defend. Knows how to defend gaps, all that stick work. So I think he's going to be a key defender. So that part, I think that's where his money is going to be made. And yeah, you know, he'll be out there. He'll get 20 points, maybe something like that. But you're not getting them for the points.
One thing I wondered about Emery when I saw these results, you know, there's some guys who test so poorly at the combine. Someone who comes to mind is someone like Casey Mittelstadt, who struggled to do a pull-up.
Right.
And you think, okay, this guy's got all the talent in the world. We just need to get him in the gym and we beef him up. And then he's right. Got a lot more runway. So on the other hand, if that's true, which it is not for everybody, but for some guys certainly is true, Emery, like, how much more does he have to go that way? Like, he's already an absolute stud, you know, athlete. That's not really going to help him. So does that mean that maybe his runway isn't as long to, like, improve in that way because, you know, he's so strong already? Or is that just not really a good way of thinking about it?
No, I mean, you're talking about 30%, 35% of his game. And maybe, yeah, maybe that part's maxed out. But just look at, I don't know, Noah Dobson. Like, how much better did his defense get in the NHL? And he was a good two-way defender, really, really good. I had ranked him just ahead of Quinn Hughes, and now he's starting to show it, but it took him a while. And so Emery's defense will continue to get better as he moves up the ladder. He's smart. He, you know, he did talk about his first touches, meaning his first pass, and I thought they're pretty good already, and he feels like he can improve on it because he also knows that teams nowadays are not interested necessarily in you skating your way all the way to get up the ice, get over the blue line and get the puck in the zone, but really make that pass to get somebody else to do it, or even two other players, depending on what team. Some teams are annoying. Sometimes they'll go three. But that's the key, is to get that puck out there, out of there quickly. And he is quick to the puck. He is strong. He has good, great passing ability. So he can do all of those things, even though he's like not a top offensive guy. And then, yeah, he'll just learn better technique. All those things will get better.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's just going to, that's going to raise his floor and he's going to get so much better.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours.
Let me ask you about the next guy I have on my list. That's Teddy Stiga, consolidated number 39, 5'10", 176-pound left shot, left wing, 79 points in 61 games for the USNTDP. But I don't know, someone like Stiga, to me, he does so much more than just score points. He's really fun to watch. I know you've watched him a lot over the year. And, you know, he's someone who, even though he may be a better all-around player than just point scorer, he still has a PNHLE upside of, you know, looking at this 74-ish points. He shoots a fair amount. He hits a fair amount. He even blocks a decent amount for a forward. He's got pretty decent star potential here on Hockey Prospecting, up to 25%. So what can you tell us? What did you learn from the combine about Stiga, and what do you kind of think of him?
He would be like a quiet star. He like a Pavelski type, where he's just super effective, but you know, you're not going to like look at him and say, oh yeah, he's a top player, 10 player in the league. It's not going to be like that. I think everybody has it wrong with Teddy Stiga, except for me. I think where I have him ranked at 13th is right, and I have him behind TJ Ginla, but everybody else has it wrong because they have him much lower. Some have him in the second round. And I do kind of ask what they've been watching. I get he's 5'10". If that's part of the reason you dropped him, okay. I'll at least give you credit if you admit it and say that's the reason. Because it's not because of his defense, certainly not his point production. You go look at all these tournaments, and he has exceeded even what I thought he could do at any one of these tournaments. And when I asked him about that at the combine, he said, yeah, he does get a little extra pumped up when he's playing other nations, and there's a lot on the line. He is going to be a clutch, big-time player, big-game guy, and those things matter. And I think teams will figure that out. Like teams like the Flyers and the Rangers were interested in him. I did ask him about that, but he interviewed with a lot, trying to see if I had the number for Stiga. I want to say it was something like 27. It was something in that range for him. So quite a few teams would like him, but he is a guy where, again, I think he's most likely a second liner. Wouldn't shock me if someday he worked himself into a first liner because he does continue to work. He's going to have a great college program behind him. And this kid already, and I've watched him all year. Like I've watched him for at least 6 games live, and he already looks like he's put on 5 pounds of muscle. So he's working hard off the ice too.
Russ, I wish you would tell us how you really feel. Come on.
I wonder if people are a little bit lower on him because he's a versatile player. I think he's very adaptable. Like I haven't seen him play as much as you have, but
yeah.
You know, that's one of the big takeaways I had from him at the U18s was that, you know, whatever the other two guys on his line do, he can provide what they don't or complement what they bring.
If you need him to go in the corners, he'll go in the corners. If you need him to be around the net and be another scoring presence, he'll do that. Yeah, he's that guy.
Right. And so that can sometimes be a little bit underwhelming from like a flash and dash perspective, right? So I wonder if that's why people are a little cooler on him. Like, yeah, he's nice, he's good, you know, he's like a jack of all trades, master of none. But I'm like,
I don't know. You know, when you look at the point totals and when he was scoring goals and how he did and everything else, it's hard to go with that. But okay,
yeah, I'm more on your side. I'm speculating that might be why people are lower on him.
Yeah,
perhaps. Anyhow,
yeah, and I love him. I think he's. Whatever team drafts him, fans are going to love Tastika. He's just...
Oh, no question.
He's going to be so good for that team. Maybe he's not a funny as good
guy.
For
your... He's a funny guy, too, right? Because he said, I think he lives in Mass now, but his family's originally from New York. But, of course, they were Yankee fans when I asked him. And I said, what about the Mets? And he was like, oh, yeah, I think we have, like, a crazy uncle that's a Met fan. You know? And it's just, like, typical, right? I'm a Met fan. I guess I would be someone's crazy uncle if that were the case. So it just made me laugh.
That is pretty good. I got a player I want to ask you about. Actually, he's one that you want me to talk about. So that's Ryder Ritchie.
Yeah.
He's 23rd ranked on the Consolidated Elite Prospects page. He's a 6-foot, 174-pound forward from the Prince Albert Raiders. Had himself a pretty nice draft season with 44 points in 47 games. He was also really good in the playoffs for them, too, over a point of game player. And he looked also very good at the U18s as well. How did he fare at the combine, you know, testing or interviews, whatever he did there? What stood out to you?
I haven't posted his interview yet, but I got something great out of him. For one thing, I like his fact that he's one of those calm guys, always calm, terrific passer, smart, always makes smart plays. Maybe he's not the best scorer on his team, but he's always like up there when you need something, you get it. He did talk about it himself, how he felt like he did well in the under-18s. The other thing about him, though, I said, do you feel, and this is, again, I feel like I have it more right than some others. I have him at 19, but I know others have him like where you said. And I said, do you feel like you're being overlooked in this draft? And he kind of looked at me like, yeah, and I forget exactly what he said. He was going to go the PC route. And then he's like, no, I am. And I have a chip on my shoulder as a result. And I was like, good for you, guy. Keep that chip. That chip will make me look good in the end. And, you know, we'll get him a better contract down the road. And he could then, you know, be really proud of what he does down the road. But I think he's just the guy that's going to get it done. I do.
All right. One more player. It's maybe a little similar. Beckett Seneca. He's been, had a rocket on his back. He has been climbing up the charts at an astronomical rate in the back nine of this season. So we've talked about him before on the show. To recap, though, he's 6'2", 182, right winger for the Oshawa Generals. And he's
6'3 now.
Right on. Yeah. Right. Okay. So he's grown an inch since Elite Prospects measured him. He drove the bus for the Generals. He got them into the playoffs and all the way to the finals. And when he was injured, they sure did miss him. And they got summarily dismissed by London without him. So he's one of the highest risers in the draft. He had 27 goals and 41 assists this last year for Oshawa. So I don't think he was available for physical testing, if I read that correctly.
He wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, he was still injured.
Yeah. So he's a dangler with high-end puck skills. He's good at using his length, smooth skater, big growth spurt in his draft season. He grew 4 inches. I guess that's now 5. So he didn't do any physical testings. So how did he fare in the interviews and whatnot?
Well, I think he fared well. I forget who I was talking to. I'm looking at the list of their team. Maybe it was, and I'm not going to remember, but one of his teammates did say that he started when they both got drafted in the OHL draft, he was bigger, and now Seneca is bigger than he is.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And I did ask Seneca about clothes shopping. I said, you know, it had to be a point where you just outgrew all your clothes. And he laughed. The only reason I know about that is because I was like 5'3" going into my 11th grade summer. I came back in as a senior and I was 5'9". So I grew between 5 and 6 inches also in a year. And a lot of people didn't even recognize me because I was just like this little pipsqueak. So, but that wasn't the case for him. He just got bigger. But there is like an awkwardness when that happens. So like I noticed it in my basketball play because I was like a point guard and all of a sudden like now I could really play like a small forward back then and I wasn't as good. Like I lost my mental spot of being a point guard because my body was now bigger than that. And he talked about that. He said he used to look at Patrick Kane and now he looks at Philip Forsberg. And so that's the difference in his growth spurt. And so I think that's all still being explored. And I see that where the skating's not quite there yet. Look, scouts always love when a guy grows and still might be growing. They love that because they just see power forward in him and probably is going to be that. My whole thing with him is I don't think he's top 10 material. I know he's going to end up really close to that. It's just because of that skating and everything else. It's never going to be exactly right until he stops growing. But he is taking steps to kind of stay ahead of that, and I give him credit for that. But when I'm watching some of those, you know, some of his goals, he is able to, you know, out-muscle or out-stick work a guy, like you said, and kind of do a crossover and get in on the net. But, you know, as he moves up the ladder, that's going to get harder to do. And so we'll see if that part of his game is still there. I do like that stick and puck control, like you said, but I do kind of wonder where the skating's going to be. When is the rubber going to meet the road on that one?
Is he starting to model himself after Forsberg because he can grow a mustache?
Ah, no, but yeah, he was already starting to do that. But he's a good kid. I think he understands what's happened to him as a positive, but I also think he's trying to figure it all out too.
All right. Well, certainly a player on the rise, and I can't wait to see where he goes.
Someone I think this was really, really important for, and that's Trevor Connolly. We know he's made some questionable decisions in the past. We know there have been some other allegations that may or may not be true. We know that he took one of the dumbest penalties at the worst time in the U18 gold medal game. But he's a dynamic, game-breaking, skilled player. So, you know, I think that I'm sure the teams really wanted to spend some time talking to him. And it's someone who potentially could have really, really helped or hurt their stock there at the combine. So what did you hear? What did you find out about Trevor Connolly there?
Yeah, so, you know, I did ask him more than a few questions. I have interviewed him. I did interview him early in the season, watched him early in the season. I probably could interview him again if I want to. I might. I didn't post the video because I felt like I don't want this kid to be under the microscope. I feel like he has atoned and has worked on himself more than other players that we can name that we've heard in the past with issues. From a pure player standpoint, he knows he's one of the top skilled guys in this draft, and he is. He's not going to get drafted in that spot, though, because teams are now going to have this conversation like, hey, what are we going to do? You know, if we take him, are we going to have to, you know, answer to this? I don't think he's going to be a problem. He's going to be with Providence. And I just think that's a great program. And I watch his skating. It's terrific. I've watched him foul up a play, and he really, could get back and make a stick play on it, you know, to break it up. He could be that good. He could put in, you know, 2-point, 3-point games before you realize it. I just feel like he's never going to get the right treatment for the kind of offensive player he is and skater. But yeah, I just feel like I think he'll still end up in the first, but it's possible, you know, he could slip. But Nate Lehman, I watched him and Connolly sort of talk to each other a few times at the Fall Classic. And that meant a lot to me. That meant like, hey, not only is Nate Lehman, you know, want him in his program, but he's now going to kind of like take this kid under his wing and, you know, and mentor him a little bit. And he's a terrific coach, as you know, Nate Lehman. So I think all of that bodes well for him. And so, yeah, if I'm a team and I have a pick from 20 on, I would take him.
Russ, as that's you know, I'm a pretty great guy.
Right.
But I wasn't always. When I was young, I said and thought and did some pretty dumb things. Quite frankly, some things that I'm ashamed of. But I matured and grew and much better person now. And, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, this kid, when he was very young, posted a picture that was not really well thought out and not really well planned. And probably deserves a second chance. Now, you give people second and third chances and they continue to screw up, well, then they're just a dickbag. And you can dismiss them then. But I think he's still so young that he's probably worth a second chance here. And in terms of fantasy, I mean, you don't have to answer to your fans for picking a guy that's a jerk.
For fantasy, you're not
selling tickets or jerseys for your fantasy team.
Right. For fantasy, he could be one of the biggest found offensive guys in this draft because he can't really go by where he's going to get picked in this draft, but he's going to put up the numbers.
Right.
Yeah, no, you can't. It doesn't matter for fantasy. But on the other hand, if some of these other concerns, not necessarily the picture, but I think some of the other concerns that may or may not be true about him with teammates and, do you think that that's going to be at all an issue, or do you think he's someone who's going to get to Providence? He's going to work really hard. He's going to do whatever it takes to make it to the NHL and be a successful player. That's really, I think, what matters to us, because if he's not going to have the drive and if he's not going to keep his nose clean in the time between now and he NHL debuts, then that is something that we should care about for our fantasy leagues.
Yeah, I know about those other things, and I still, there's nothing there that is a huge red flag for me, but I get it with teams. They're going to be like, some don't want to deal with it. Fine. Some don't want to have to, you know, put out an extra press release. Fine. But no, I think he'll be fine. And I think Providence is a great place for him. So I don't have that kind of worry. I think he's maturing already.
All right. Time to move Trevor Connolly up your list, everybody. I have one more for you. And this is Michael Hage. Consensus 22. 6'1", 190-pound right shot center. He really helped turn the season around for Chicago Steel, who is notoriously a pretty good program, but they did not really have a great season. Yeah, they were not good this year. But 75 points in 54 games for draft eligible, April birth date draft eligible. Pretty solid. And when you pack that onto the fact that I can't imagine going through what he did for an elite athlete, losing his father over the summer, entering your draft eligible season when you kind of need that family support and such a difficult scrutiny and time, you know, I think the resilience is, you know, incredible. You know, I think a lot, you could understand if he didn't have the best season, but he had an incredible season, you know, so I think this young man checks a lot of boxes. But what did you learn about Hage and what do you kind of think of him?
Yeah, I spoke to him early in the year and his mom is strong. She stays in great touch with him. And I think that that keeps him grounded. When I spoke to him in November, he still said he was only at 80% recovering from that shoulder injury. The guy you saw in the second half was the guy you're going to see. My whole thing with him is, so what is he? Is he a second-line center or is he a third-line center? He's not a first-line center, I don't believe. I like his speed. I think he can score. I've messed around with him in the first round, and I still would rather pick him if I were a GM, like early second. I think he's really close, but I think he might be more of a high floor guy rather than a high ceiling guy. Because, you know, if you look at him, he is pretty well developed and he is really mature. His skating's already really good. I don't know how much better all these other things are going to get on him, but I do know he's going to be a good player. He's one that kind of will keep me up at night thinking about it because it's hard to figure him out. It is, but I do know he's good. I just don't know if he's first round good.
I think our producer wants to chime in here on a guy.
Yeah, sure. Go.
Hey, Russ, I got one guy for you, and that's Konsta Hellenius. We've talked about him a bunch of times on the show. 5'11", 180-pound center. Consolidated ranking had him at 10. You know, he just turned 18 years old last month, but I've read a lot of reports where people think he could be ready to play in the NHL next season. You know, had a good showing in the Liga this year. 14 goals, 22 assists, 36 points. Not a flashy guy, but highly effective. A hard worker, good motor, not the fastest skater. What were your thoughts about him after you left the combine?
Yeah, so I'm a big Hellenius guy. I also think he's really smart and he's feisty. He will lay a hit. He is an interesting guy because I think his skating would get better. And I've seen him like start the rush. He actually, when he was wearing, you know, one of the cap sleeve kind of shirts that the workout guys do, kind of revealed to me that he has bigger shoulders than I thought. So this guy's going to fill out more than I thought. And so like, if he comes over next year, he still won't be filled out, but in a couple of years he will be. And I think he's going to be really dangerous. I do think like I have him at fourth. I understand why some may not believe him being a top line center. If that's why, then that's why they dropped him. And that's fair. That's what's going to be the thing. But he literally played in every tournament, including the World Championships at the age of 17. And there's something to be said about that. And so, and what Moritz Seider did that too, right? Remember, he just played in everything. Even so, I just look at it and I say, is it possible that he is going to get overlooked by a few clubs? Yeah, I do think it's possible. But I think his payoff is going to be very similar to Carlson. And I think he will have a big impact sooner than some of these other guys. So yeah, I think Hellenius is going to be terrific.
Awesome. Which Carlson?
Leo.
All right. One last guy for me, if everyone's got all their players in. And this will probably just be a quick one, but I got to ask you about TJ Ginla. Did the Flames interview him?
Oh, yeah. Everybody did. I mean, he didn't have a million. I don't remember the number he said, but, you know, he knows he's going top 10, right? So, if you know, 30 teams wouldn't talk to him, but maybe 20-something did. I just don't remember the number. Certainly the Flames spoke to him. And he, you know, he knows what it would be like. He talked about it with the Flames. Is he a center or is he a winger? I think that's the big question with TJ Ginla. Very split. The one number that stood out, though, from Instat that I got was, you know, 65% of his shots were on goal, which is incredible. He is pretty good on faceoffs. So I think he can be a center. I don't know if he is. But if you take him top five, he better be a center. If you take him in the top 10, then he could be a winger, and I think he'll be a really good one, a top line one. He's, you know, he's got the brain, got the release on the shot. I think he's quick to lose pucks, which I think is something that maybe doesn't get talked about enough because I think he is a very good skater, though I think it'll get better. If you remember, Jerome wasn't the best skater. He's a lot better than Jerome, but that's the era thing as far as skating. So I think you got a star player here, and he will be gone by nine for sure, but probably before then. And yeah, so he's going to be, and he's, you know, already a great interview because he's from a hockey family and he's as happy-go-lucky as Jerome is. So
Jerome was good on draws too, but he was, yes, he was always a wing, but he took a lot of draws.
I remember. He did.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. I don't think it would be a pick of nepotism, but it's starting to look more and more like it's not going to be an option for Calgary unless if they really want him, they're going to
have to trade up.
Trade up, right? Yeah.
Right. If they see that he's at like six or seven and they know that team might be persuaded to drop a couple, that would be the only way they're getting them.
Right. If there's still really good defensemen on the board that a team, because I mean, like the top five defensemen seem to be pretty interchangeable depending on who you ask. And yeah.
at and least there's going to be a run on them. There'll be a run on them. So there could be as many as six in the top 10.
Right. But right in this range where we're talking about, you mean you could, if you have the sixth pick, for example, and you want one of those D and there's three of them left, you could trade down to nine, still get one of your three guys, and then get a little something, something extra for the slide.
No, that's fair. Good.
Yeah.
I got one last question for you, Russ.
Okay.
Was there one player at the draft that or at the combine that you think their performance at the combine hurt them the most? Which player you think hurt the most there at the combine? Which player it got the best out of their combine that'll help improve their stock?
I think Emory can move up a few spots because of the great athleticism. I don't think anybody got hurt, but I think, you know, some of the guys that just didn't do it, never a help. I mean, some guys it won't matter, like, you know. But I think when you saw guys like Sam Dickinson and Zane Parekh do it after playing in the Memorial Cup and really not being able to prepare for this, that just speaks to their character and also how competitive they are. Like Dickinson basically said he wanted to be, you know, win every category. He wanted to be the best guy out there for that too. So it shows you something. But I don't think anybody got really hurt. Again, I don't look at the pull-ups like with the Sam Bennett thing. I didn't make a big deal then. And Sam Bennett didn't do a single pull-up, and he's punching everybody in the face in the Stanley Cup. So I don't think that's
turned out. He turned out all right. Yeah. We got to let you go, Russ. But before we do, tell everybody where we can find your stuff about Sportsology and Draft Buzz.
Yeah. So Sportsology.com, NHLDraftBuzz.com, EPRingside.com, The Off the Post Show. And, you know, I'm working on an 11th book, but I can't say the title yet. So it'll be a hockey book, though.
Nice. Stepping away from baseball for a book, huh?
Yep.
Right on. Well, Russ, we'll see you in Vegas, baby.
Yeah. See you guys there.
We'll do a hit for the show there, and we'll have some drinks and beers. Thanks a lot for coming on, Russ. Always our pleasure.
All right. Mine too. See you guys.
Thanks for listening to Dauber Prospects Report number 61, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the show. And thanks again to our guest, Russ Cohen. For feedback on the show, if you want to chat with us or tell us what you want to hear from the draft in Vegas, give us a shout on Twitter at DPR_show, at Farling, at Victor Nuno 12, and at Sabrin 91. Don't forget to follow HockeyPod.net. All kinds of great shows for your hockey listening pleasure there. And, you know, if you're listening to us on whatever platform, go ahead, like, subscribe, hit the share button, 5 stars and all those things. Till next time, keep your stick on the ice.
Let's do that hockey.